Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time for our special guest segment, and joining me by phone this morning, the Reverend Matthew Heise, Executive Director, new Executive Director of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Good morning, Pastor Heise.
Good morning, Andy. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for being our guest this morning. Tell us, you've been with Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Well, you're fairly new. You were recently installed not too long ago, correct?
April 6th.
April 6th, though, man, just a few weeks in the seat here at Lutheran Heritage Foundation. What brought you to Lutheran Heritage Foundation? What's significant about LHF?
Well, it's a very long road, to be honest with you. literally, 20 years ago, I was commissioned as a volunteer English teacher for LCMS World Mission. And at my home congregation, Guardian Lutheran in Dearborn, Michigan, Pastor Robert Ron came to do the service that Sunday when I was commissioned. So it was an LHF Sunday. And oddly enough, almost 20 years to the day, now I've actually become the executive director. So it's been, I think, a focus on missions. And even before LHF, my home congregation, we've actually had three missionaries overseas, Dr. James Tino in Venezuela, Michael Tanney in Puerto Rico, who's now a pastor in St. Louis, and somehow I ended up in Russia.
And how long did you serve in Russia?
Well, until the beginning of this year, to January. So
wow.
It would have been 13 years now, the past 13 years. And in the mid-90s, I was a volunteer English teacher for 2 years at Moscow State University.
Wow. And so now, you received the call to serve as the executive director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation, which is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Tell us what, I know many of our listeners are probably familiar with Lutheran Heritage Foundation, but for those who aren't familiar with your work, what does LHF do?
Basically, we translate, distribute, and disseminate and teach with a lot of the what you would call Lutheran spiritual books throughout right now about 80 different countries in 90 different languages. So in that sense, we're kind of tightly tied to the mission field. We're trying to get that good Lutheran spiritual literature into the hands of people around the world because one thing I found in my long missionary services that wherever I went, and most of my travels were in Russia and the former Soviet Union, but they extended over to Mongolia too, is that there's a dearth of good Christian material. And whenever anybody got their hands on one of these books, they were thrilled. And so they served not only seminaries, but they also served congregations.
So preparing these materials that are useful for teaching God's word is really what you're about, but not just in English, but preparing these materials in languages for people all over the globe.
Correct. We usually like to kind of phrase it this way. It's Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven. That's really our goal in getting these kind of books and materials out throughout the world.
So what are some of the most recent books that LHF has prepared and working on delivering?
Well, most recently, in fact, one that we're quite proud of, we've worked with Lutheran Hour Ministries on this in tandem. It's a Spanish language Bible. It's a large softcover edition there with the catechism actually kind of covering the pages in a little bit in front and the conclusion of the catechism in the back. One of the important things that I think a lot of people are also quite excited about is there's large print. So as you can imagine, sometimes when you get so many of these books, you're kind of straining and pulling out the magnifying glass, especially as we get older. So this book has been very happily received, and hopefully sometime there'll be a nice little kickoff in Brazil in September to kind of celebrate what's gone on with the Spanish language Bible. So that's not only good for Latin America, the Spanish-speaking world, but also Hispanic ministries within the United States itself.
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
That's one thing. Arabic catechism right now is something that I think will, especially in the Detroit area, we have a large Arab population, Iraqi, Yemenis, Lebanese, and certainly in many other cities around the United States today. And we found some strong believers who are now beginning to use that Arabic catechism to catechize new believers. And obviously the goal and the hope is that book then goes back to the Middle East.
Right. And so how many of these languages do you speak and write, Pastor?
Well, other than the biblical languages, quite frankly, Russian and German are what I use. German is helpful, obviously, throughout most places in Europe if someone doesn't know English. And Russian is literally the lingua franca of the former Soviet Union. So, I mean, I did work in Georgia, Ukraine, Belarus, Russia, Kyrgyzstan, and over in Mongolia. And for the most part, a lot of people still speak those languages with the same bad accent that I have. So that worked out quite well.
So it takes a lot of people, a lot of resources to prepare these materials. It takes people from these people groups who know the languages so well in order to translate the small catechism and the other resources that you've been preparing. Just give us an idea of the work that goes into one project.
Well, for example, I'll talk maybe about the Georgian Book of Concord, because it just came out last week. We'd worked on this. Some of the things that we did was you need a translator who is not only conversant in English and his or her native language. You need somebody who's also theologically competent. And once you've kind of worked on that, you might have a team, you might have a single individual doing that kind of work, but it's always good to double check. For example, we found that people that I worked with in Georgia, I trusted them implicitly. They said this translation looked good, but still, we're all human, we're all fallen, we all make mistakes. And so we ended up getting some other opinions from Georgians who my people didn't know in Moscow. And they confirmed that, okay, this looks fine too. So that way, you know, you kind of always are double checking and mm-hmm. making sure. You can't do that, you know, for every single language you hope to. But that's when everything works properly. So, and it's a long process. Right now we're starting up work on at least portions of the Book of Concord in Kyrgyz. And we just got the first Kyrgyz Luther's Small Catechism out over the past year. We'll have to do the same thing there, too. We'll need to double-check. So it's not something that happens in a few months.
Now, I would assume Kyrgyz would be spoken primarily in Kyrgyzstan, but Are there other places that might be useful as well?
Not really. Mm-hmm. In fact, the really neat thing is that we're trying to get into some of these unreached people groups, and Kyrgyz certainly is one of those. Uniquely, I don't know how familiar you are with this, but there was a great article by Dr. Uwe Simonetto a couple of years ago in Christianity Today. It's entitled "The Other Iranian Revolution." There's a large number of Iranians coming into the Lutheran Church in eastern Germany, and I was able to witness 15 baptisms in mid-December when I was over there at Gottfried Martin's church in South Berlin. He baptized two Iranians at the start of the year. By the end of the year, there's over 300 already baptized in his own congregation.
Wow.
It's growing enormously, and naturally, we're starting to talk about what kind of materials do you need, because here's a language group that's obviously going to be particular for those of Iranian background, but then you've got a diaspora. So wherever those people end up going, they'll need that book, too. So, you know, we basically hit, I think, a lot of the major language groups, but then there's always some new language group in Africa and Asia, which, of course, is a steep learning curve for me to figure out all those different languages now.
So what lies ahead for Lutheran Heritage Foundation?
Well, right now we are continuing to work where we're at, but as I say, I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to get into places where we haven't been, and Mongolia is another one. Just opened up to the gospel about 20 years ago. There were literally, according to some count, 4 Christians in 1990. I'm not sure who did the counting. It was probably quite simple with one hand. Today they number close to 100,000. So where the church is growing, we want to look there because they're all searching for good Christian literature, mm-hmm. and we think we have that to offer. I recall my professor Wang Yongji was talking about when Lutheranism first started up in Korea, and he felt that was really the calling of the Lutheran church, was to make sure that there were good, solid Lutheran materials in the Korean language. So we want to do that. We want to continue to expand in these different countries.
And it takes resources, as you've mentioned, all the people that work on such a project. It takes resources, it takes collaboration, it takes partnerships, it takes volunteers and people who depend on work like this as their livelihood as well. So how can our listeners support Lutheran Heritage Foundation if they'd like to do so?
Well, actually, we have, you can even do it online. We have a website called www.lhfmissions.org. And they can go directly to that website. There we have a list of our publications. We have a list of children's Bible projects, which is something we obviously stress. From my background in the mission field, I always sensed that if somebody wasn't working with children, they really didn't have a perspective on the future of the church. So children's Bibles are something we focus on. We have projects there online, and you can actually give online. And if you are a first-time donor or if you haven't given in 13 months, we have matching funds. So, for example, if somebody gave $100, we could match that up to $300.
Very good. LHFmissions.org. You can check it out. We'll link to it as well on the with the archive of today's program. We've been talking with Reverend Matthew Heise, Executive Director of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Pastor Heise, thanks so much for being our guest on His Time this morning.
Thanks so much for inviting me, Andrew.
God's blessings to you and all the work that you and your partners are doing at Lutheran Heritage Foundation.
Thank you very much.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll check in with the Reverend Dr. David Schmidt from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis on the upcoming two-day theological reflection. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.